Hello, and welcome back to the Redundant Rufus podcast. This episode is a bit different. As you could see in the description, this is about a topic which I haven't spoken on since I've had this podcast. I know you're accustomed to paranormal, supernatural, Tolkien-related, and some other random tidbits until I get a real feel of how I want my podcast to be. But today's different because I'm going to talk about mental health, mine in particular, and my objective here is not to boast. It's not to say how great things are, how terrible things are. There are many people who have burdens. They have their own struggles. They face adversity in different ways and that are unique to them. And I've had my own, and I'd like to share those and how I'm working through it. So without further ado, let's get started. So mental health is something that I didn't take seriously. I didn't demean anyone or think less of someone who had mental health issues, but since I didn't ever experience such a crisis or health risk or what have you, I didn't have much of an opinion of it. I didn't give it much time to think about and consider how damaging, how crippling, how fearful it can make someone. And oftentimes, we have experiences which allow us to show empathy, being able to show empathy towards others, being able to understand to an extent what someone is feeling. We all have our own feelings, our own personalities, our own lives, and as there can always be similarities, no one situation is exactly the same. We are distinct individuals, and we have to work through what we're dealing with. Now, obviously, there is so much support and outpouring of love in helping individuals to deal with their own personal demons, if you will. And I've certainly had mine. So this would start, technically, when I was a teenager. So as I've said before in other episodes, I am an introvert by nature. My personality is, if you don't have anything interesting to talk about, then I'm not going to talk to you. That's nothing, it's not a judgment or me trying to be better than someone or assuming they're not a nice person. If I don't have anything to say, then I'm not going to say it. And in middle and high school, I was heavily introverted. I had a couple of friends throughout my entire grade school experience, and all but one of my classes and one lunch hour did I ever get to see them during school. So I was pretty much alone. And in my faith, being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I was by myself in my schools. One of my sisters was a couple years older, so I was able to have her, near me during some of the time, but for all intents and purposes, I was alone. And I was prime fodder for bullies. It was very easy to tease me. It was very easy to ridicule what I was wearing, the dark circles under my eyes, my pale skin, and just not being talkative, not being with the in crowd, if you will. And I was constantly judged for my demeanor. And I even had a comment by one of my peers in high school, because I was an introvert and just kept to myself, they asked me if I was going to, quote, shoot up the school, which I didn't know how to reply. Of course, I was not. I never had any thought towards that. I didn't know how to answer that. That you've never spoken, this person never spoke to me before, and that's the first thing they say. No pleasantries or small talk, just straight up, are you going to kill everyone here? And from that point on, I had a very sour attitude towards people. I felt justified that I was judging, or that I could judge other people for their poor decisions, for sleeping around, for doing drugs, for getting drunk all night. And I could say to myself proudly, well, I don't do those things. I'm not putting myself in that kind of those dangerous circumstances or precarious moments. So, you know, I'm better than them. And so I really didn't want to talk to people after that. And it showed in my demeanor. So that was grade school. And I carried that judgment there on after. And it really continued with me throughout much of my adult life of harboring resentment for certain individuals who had wronged me in the past, and having a negative outlook on life. Now, because of my faith and serving a full-time proselyting mission, of course, I had changed in different ways. I had seen the value of service, of being more open and confident. But it wasn't enough, because it was too easy for me to regress into a previous mentality of being cynical and pessimistic and arrogant and just judging other people. So, my job that I had up until 2 weeks ago was a blessing for my family and me. It had given us much. Wasn't the biggest payer. My wife, of course, had to work multiple jobs so that we could get by. But the job allowed me to be home. It provided great health benefits. There was flexibility with my schedule, and much of my time I could be with my kids and helping to raise them while I was working from home. And these were blessings, and I wouldn't trade that time for anything. But my job had its own issues. I had issues with, not to get too specific, but I had issues with management. I had issues with how I was being treated. I felt very ignored, demeaned, that my role was important on the surface. And it was made clear a couple weeks ago that my job, it wasn't as important as it was made out to be. Nonetheless, going through just my job and its own burdens and frustrations and things not changing, I reverted to my old teenage mindsets of having resentment, of being incredibly judgmental and frustrating to the point that I was having panic attacks. I didn't know that they were panic attacks. I never had one before that I could recall, but they were terrible. And I dealt with them alone, and I didn't feel like I had to be honest with anyone about it. It was just, oh, I had a bad day. You know, that's why I'm in this attitude, this sour attitude. But it got worse. And not being open about what I was feeling started to rehash feelings from childhood, from my teenage years. And that made things worse because they were things I had not fully recovered from. Some I did, but it's very easy for the human mind to dwell on the past because we're human and it feels good in the moment, doesn't it? It feels good to remember an event that you could have been forgiven for, that you could have forgiven someone else about, that was a point in your life where you chose to change, but you let yourself revert to how you were before those experiences, before that change, because it feels good. It's comforting. And it's very easy to be judgmental. It is incredibly easy to show resentment. It's too easy. That's who we are as humans. We're built that way to express those emotions, to have those behaviors. And of course, in my faith, we're taught to be better. We're taught to be more like Jesus Christ, to overcome what we call the natural man or the carnal man, the human in us, and choose to be something better, something more positive, something influential, to be Christ-like. He wasn't going around judging everybody for their decisions. Instead, he taught them. He served them. One of my favorite stories is when the people brought a woman caught in adultery. She, of course, was committing one of the worst sins you could ever commit. And he didn't say a word. He drew a line in the sand. And he asked them, if anyone who is without sin, let them cast the first stone at her. And they all left. And this woman who had been caught in adultery, all of her sins made public, essentially. And Christ there, patiently and lovingly, speaks to her, and I can only imagine in the most perfect, compassionate expression. He asks, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" And she replies, "Nowhere, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more, thy sins are forgiven thee." That is compassion. It is obvious that in our lives we have individuals that we wish would change, that seem to be out of our power to influence them to change for the better, or maybe individuals who hurt us so incredibly deeply that we feel it's impossible to forgive them, to forgive and forget, because instead, it feels much better to be angry. It's easy to spread misinformation about them, or it's easier to malign them, or telling people, well, the way that I feel is the best way, and you need to agree with me. No. That's called arrogance. That's called being puffed up in your pride, or haughty, as the scriptures say. That's not compassionate. That's not loving. That is not forgiving. That is a sign that you're unwilling to change. And that's what I was feeling. I was getting to the point where I was unwilling to change. And I was unwilling to accept any responsibility for how I was mishandling my life. And it came quite severely to me, recognizing the damage I was creating. It first affected me, and then I saw it was affecting my family. I was detached from them. I was short with them. I would get easily angry or irritable, and my poor wife had to deal with, had to bear that burden of managing the house when I had been such a help and partner with her in raising our kids. It turned into my wife telling our kids, Daddy's not feeling well. Leave Daddy alone. Daddy's tired. And having my children, one of them in particular, giving me the look of pure sadness because I was not acknowledging what I was feeling. I was not being willing to, I was not willing to change. And boy, that hurt. That cut me into the very center. And other things that I need to mention that were happening is I would have sudden mood changes that could be triggered by something, and oftentimes I didn't know what the trigger was. And because of it, I didn't know how to deal with it. I just kind of went with the flow. I went with how I was feeling, like I was the complete opposite of being at, you know, somewhat jovial of a person, personality, and having now a personality of detachment, of apathy, of impatience, of judgment. It physically hurt, and it also physically hurt to lie to people. Putting on a face to my family, putting on a face when I would attend my congregation, just having this attitude of superiority. But most people who feel superior are being crippled by fear, because they don't know how to deal with their insecurities. So they overcompensate on the surface to suggest, I'm good. Yep, I'm all right. No one has to worry about me. And even further, well, I wouldn't make that decision. I wouldn't say that to that person. But it got to the point where it was crippling and damaging to my family and myself that I blew up, figuratively speaking. In a meeting with my manager last fall, they asked a simple question of how I was doing. And I opened up, I blew up. I was saying things that I had felt for years, and this wasn't necessarily the right place to do it. I mean, much of it had to do with my job and what I was feeling. And let me tell you that my manager was, he didn't know what to say other than, I'm sorry that you've had to deal with this alone. I wish you would have told me these things because, you know, we could have understood and helped you. And that made me feel two feelings of comfort, reassurance, of course, but also shame. For the next short while, I became incredibly embarrassed because I fully acknowledged what my decisions were causing, how they were negatively affecting my wife and children, and of course myself. In my immediate family, I wasn't choosing to be honest about it. I just put on a face. But I was counseled to seek counseling. And so I started to get professional help and started taking medication. Admitting that I had a problem, admitting that my words, my thoughts, my behaviors were negatively affecting not just me, as I had previously thought or assumed, but it was affecting people I loved and cared for. And it felt terrible lying to people that I wasn't okay. I had a lot going on upstairs. And I got a realization, or I received a strong realization that I needed to trust. I needed to be open. I needed to have faith that this was just a part of my mortal sojourn on this world, and that I needed this experience for a specific purpose, and that purpose I am slowly understanding. But the feelings of embarrassment and shame and anger and resentment is such a poison. I heard someone say that resentment is like a poison inside of you, but you're hoping the other person will die from it. Resentment is a poison. It is not healthy. It feels good. It gratifies your pride, sure. But are those any of those things beneficial? Do any of those things, are any of them reminiscent of Christ and his example? Are any of those negative feelings, or those, you know, any of those feelings happen to provide any lasting, positive, true benefit for you and those around you? And the answer is no. I saw what my resentment and my judgment did to myself as a teenager. And I saw what it started to do with my family over the past couple of years. And I saw how damaging it was to my personal development, for my mental health. The adversary is very real. And there is negativity in this world that we as humans, sadly but often, gravitate to because it feels good. We reassure ourselves that we're justified in having these feelings. We're justified in the negativity. There is no joy in negativity. The only semblance of artificial joy that one would feel with negativity is by constantly being negative. But it puts you in a self-made prison. Or Plato's cave metaphor, everything around you is dark. And those were feelings, that was a lifestyle that I did not want to have anymore. So aside from receiving professional help, I needed to trust. That started with me and God, acknowledging that what I was doing was not healthy. It did not help anyone. And the second person was my wife. And I have come to rely on my Savior and my God and my wife more than I ever have in previous years. My full-time proselyting mission was different. But this was my life. I had to accept that I had made bad choices and they affected the people I loved. And I needed to be repentant. I needed to be open about them. And I slowly but surely began to realize that there are many people who go through similar things but are able to bear it. There is strong support for those with struggling with mental health. And I've come to know that it is a serious matter. We all deal with adversity in different ways. It doesn't always mean our way is the best way. Rarely is that the answer. I was living in a way that I assumed how I was dealing with what I was dealing with was the best way. If I had a wrong buzzer, I would press it very hard right now. But being open about it, slowly and surely, has been incredibly relieving. In my year thus far, I can sum up in one word, and that is relief. I also kick myself, naturally, that why didn't I do this sooner? Because the peace of mind, the true joy that comes from dealing with your problems head on is so relieving. And it's a forgiveness, it's a love, it's an understanding that is so unique. I have felt those things before. But dealing with something, a self-made problem, it's different. It feels different. Because I was able to more fully recognize the individual aspect, how personable the atonement or sacrifice of Jesus Christ is. Being willing to trust Him, to believe Him, I realized I had not fully done that in my life. Have I felt His love, His, you know, the healing? Of course. But again, this was different because I had not experienced such relief before. I'm 39, and my beliefs I've had since I was a child. But I realized I wasn't fully letting myself go, fully depending on His mercy. It made His sacrifice more personal to me. That in Gethsemane and on the cross, He had all of us on our minds. And I believe He stopped for a moment to see each of us, including me and including you. So who better in this world to help you than Christ? Now I recognize some of you may not be Christian or religious. I'm telling you, this is my mental health journey. The things that have helped me. The people that have helped me. And everyone, of course, is their own individual. They have their own lives, their own path. And whether you believe in God or not, the intent of my message is to trust, to be open, to accept help, and know that there are people out there that you never met before, or maybe a side of them you didn't know, that will run to you and help you to bear your burdens a little or a lot. And it's a life experience. It's a lesson that I am grateful to have. Was it or is it uncomfortable? Yes. Is there some uncertainty? Sure. Have I had moments in the days where I felt like I was reverting? Absolutely. I would be a liar if I said otherwise. But I have that constant reassurance that I am not alone and that I can and should be open. I've opened with a number of individuals, and each time I open to them, to a new person, I feel a little more of my burden being lifted. I get more confident in what I'm saying. And it helps me be more willing to make hard choices, to push myself. Now, I am one that has been such a, what's the word? I don't like change. I'll just put it that way. I don't like change at all. Okay. Now I can recognize positive, needful change. Sure. Getting married. I wanted that change. Being a father. I wanted that change. Being a full-time proselyting missionary. I wanted that change. So there are life moments where, of course, I wanted to change. I saw the need, but day to day, I resisted it. And that was detrimental to my own personal growth. And this past, I guess, 6-7 months now, has been making uncomfortable decisions in terms of being open and honest. And everyone's experience is different. I know that. I recognize that. But for me, it's been relief. And seeing more clearly the love that many have for me. Even amidst my issues, there is still love. And love is a motivating attribute to change. So that's where I am now. This is, again, a different podcast. It's one that I'm not editing. It's just raw audio from me. I didn't feel like I typically do, adding music would have been appropriate. This is just me, Redundant Rufus, being honest, and hope that at least one person, after listening here, can choose to trust, or maybe those that once knew to trust and saw its value but forgot. I encourage you to trust again. And that it's okay to feel uncomfortable, to be uncertain, to have that fear, if you will. But something that I have carried since my mission has been this. Courage is simply fear that has said its prayers. So thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Take care.